over to the book of Hebrews, one of my favorite books, actually. I love the book of Hebrews more than any book outside the four Gospels, the book of Hebrews. We don't know who really wrote it, but if you want my opinion, and I know you're asking for that right now, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to take three scriptures today, Hebrews 4, 11 through 13, and we're going to talk about life through God's word. And that title is very important. I want you to embrace and engage that title today, life through God's word. Don't try to live life outside of God's word. Live your life through God's word. And let me read these scriptures to you as you read along with me. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. What you have to understand is that in this scripture, these three scriptures, there's a tremendous amount of reference to how we should live. Because what I don't want you to miss is what the Bible teaches the promises of God for your life and for my life, for our life, for the body of Christ. You know, the Logos, or the Word, is the Bible. That's the Logos. But the Rhema is a word given to you. So in other words, when someone comes up to you and they give you a word, they're giving you a spoken word, a Rhema. And it is reflecting that which is the Logos. So the Logos is the completed word of God, what we have as our Bible. And the Rhema is where someone again comes up and gives you a word from the Lord. And how many would raise their hand today and say, boy, I need a Rhema. I need a word from God in my life. Amen. You know, I need that word. I'll tell you right now, I need a word from God every day. And I spend time in prayer every day with God. And oftentimes he speaks to me, and sometimes there's just silence. But I just love being in the presence of the Lord. I was up late last night praying for you guys. I think about 3 o'clock in the morning, just praying for you all, you know. And I just want you to know that I just really believe that God wants to bless you today. Amen. And you're not here by half a chance. You're not here because, well, it's Sunday. This is what I got to do by rhetoric. You're here today because God's got something for you to take home in your heart, to hear in your mind and to place in your heart that something great is coming into your life. Something beautiful, a healing is coming into your life. Something that you've been praying for is coming into your life. A renewal is coming into your life. A relationship remake, let me put it that way, is coming into your life. Desires that you have desired for a long time is coming into your life. Be thankful for that. You know, be really thankful. Be like the little child that's sitting in front of the window waiting for the store to open. And all this that child is staring at is what the promise was his daddy was going to get for him. And that door one day will open. It may open in a few minutes during this message to you, but I believe with all my heart there's a Rhema word for you today. A personal word for your heart. Amen. And it's so important that we understand that. So we have to understand that we have to strive diligently as we serve God. We have to really strive diligently, which in other words means that it's Christ's power, not our willpower. So quit trying to do it on your own. That's what wears you out when you do it on your own. It's Christ's power in your life. And the enemy cannot defeat Christ's power. He cannot defeat the Word of God. He can defeat your willpower every day, all day. But God's power overcame the enemy and cast him out of heaven. A third of heaven fell. Jesus said in the Gospels that he saw a third of heaven fall because the enemy of our soul tried to raise himself up above God. And what happens in our life, we run into people that are used by the enemy, and we're walking in God's power, and they're used by the enemy, and they try to raise themselves up against our walk with God. Someone say amen. That's the truth in your life, what really happens. So we have to understand. And that God said something for us here in this particular verse in 4:11. He's talking about rest. I'll tell you, the body of Christ is so in an unrestful position, because we're trying to do everything on our own instead of letting God do it in his time. Don't be like the Israelites in the desert. They renounced God's promises. Can you imagine? They renounced his problem, his promises. They renounced that because it became problematic for them because God withdrew from them. He never took his eye off of them, but they never enter into the rest which was promised for them. And you and I have to strive diligently with knowing that it's God's power, not our willpower, that'll bring us into that rest, and then we will literally not fall short. Our soul will not fall short of the rest that's promised us when we cross over to heaven. And by the way, heaven is real. Heaven is real, and this is what we're looking forward to. It's some place that a Christian doesn't fear to go. C.H. Spurgeon, the old writers in the 17th century, which some of you may have never heard of, and I understand, but some of the greatest writers at that time was C.H. Spurgeon, and he literally said this: Christians don't fear death, but oh, the crossing. It's the unknown. We're crossing from this life, this physical life that we can hold and touch and try to control, try to have God, we can control God by how we pray. No. But we try to do all that stuff and it causes us unrest. But what we fear is that crossing, because it's unknown. We go from this physical life into the presence of Jesus Christ. We go to heaven. How marvelous that's going to be. How glorious it's going to be in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. How wonderful it is to see all the angels and hear it right there as we are in the Spirit, in the Lord, and we're right there and we hear the angels sing unto the Lord all the eternity that we are now entered into. Hearing that and being blessed by that and how wonderful it is. So what we have to do is really telling us that we need to be diligently striving for this, not giving up on the hope that has been set before us. The hope that God talked about in Jeremiah 29 and 11 that would be ours. You know, literally we have this hope that he's promised us. A life of good and not bad. Hope that everything that we've ever dreamed of, everything that we've ever embraced in prayer, everything that we ever read in the Word and that seemed the Word just jumped off the page right into our heart and said, that one's for you. That we could go ahead and move forward. Do not let the enemy of our soul destroy your walk with God and you miss the promises that he had for you. It's simple. Let God's power lead you. The reason that the Israelites lost it within days, within days is because of fear and physical needs. Now study it. You'll find it. Those are the two things. Fear and physical needs. They began to be afraid when Pharaoh was chasing them after they just were released after 400 years. A miraculous release. And here's the key. Here's the key that you got to understand. It wasn't that it was Moses and them alone, but the Spirit of God was there by a pillar of fire. He was there physically seen. Now, I don't know about you, and I say this all the time when I'm preaching, like if I saw an angel, I'd get a selfie. All I can tell you is that if this really, really happened, and it did, and the Spirit of the Lord was there, a pillar of fire, man, I'd be getting close to Him. I wouldn't be thinking God's not going to help me. Where do you, this pillar led them out of Egypt. 2.5 approximately million people. That's a lot of folks. That's everybody that lives in Oakland and in San Francisco and then south all the way into San Bruno. 2.5 million people. That's a lot of people. Could you imagine them showing up for dinner? 2.5 million people, and the Spirit of God is leading them out. I'm saying something spiritual to you today. Please embrace this message. It'll help you for life. Let that same Spirit that led them out of Egypt lead you in the life that you're in. He is there. He is in your life. He's in your heart. The Bible says He's the Parakletos, the one who walks alongside of you. When you sleep, He's there. When you awake, He's there. He leads you through the day. He blesses you. Don't allow the enemy to break through the wall of belief, the wall of faith, the wall that God has placed up and around you, because the Bible says He is a shield about us and the lifter of our head. That's His promise to our life. Nothing gets through the shield of faith. Nothing till we put the shield of faith down and we pick up that old jello fear. We start to shake like jello does, because when the devil's around, we start shaking. You know, I'm going to get my jello up here. You know, go ahead, try to get through my jello. He's going to be able to get right through that. But the shield of faith, it is God's promise in your life that you are saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, and you have a personal destiny. And at the end of that destiny, you're going to step out of this earth into the presence of Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, that's shouting ground for me. Amen. God will not allow anything to happen to you lest you allow it to happen to yourself. It's God's power. Strive diligently. You know, now we can look at the sword of the Spirit in verse 12. Wow. God's word is the sword of the Spirit with a double edge. You know, it can convict, condemn, it can encourage, it can save. However you want to look at that sword. But it's a sword. It's a double edge. And the beautiful thing about it, it's living. God's word is living. The word power in the Greek means that it's literally energetic. It's got energy. You know, if you really allow yourself, you can feel the presence of God. When you're reading the word, you can feel the power. I'm not being saying things that are hard to grasp here. I'm not being so far away that you're having a hard time hearing, or such a distance you're wondering who's speaking. The Word of God is powerful. It's energetic. It keeps you going. It makes you thrive. And as you strive through this life, it leads you and cuts through those things. It is efficient. So all we need is God's Word. Jesus said something that we really have a hard time understanding today because we're such an eating country. We love food. I know people, when they go to church, all they're thinking about what lunch is going to be like after church. They're not even listening to the message. They're listening to the growling of their stomach, waiting to get home. What's for lunch? Jesus said to the disciples, after they said to him, "Aren't you hungry?" And he goes, "No." He said, "You haven't eaten." He said, "The food that I eat is the will of my Father." You know, we need to understand that this Bible is a spiritual food to us. And you can go, you know, you can go throughout the Bible and pick scriptures to memorize and put into your mind and into your heart and literally quote all the time. When I was younger preaching revivals, I would be driving around, and on the flip of the visor for the sun visor, I would turn it down, and there'd be scriptures that I'd have taped up there, and I'd be reading them as I'd be driving, memorizing them and getting them into my spirit, because I had to go to warfare. You see, when you go to warfare, you got to go in prepared. You got to be prepared for what you're about to do. And I believe those scriptures, and I still see those scriptures in my mind and the importance of them. They gave me the strength to preach, to teach, and to bring people back to life. Do you know how many people go to church dead? As the church gets more and more to the place where it's inactive, I'm concerned that we're going to see a bunch of hearses parked outside. Because people don't come in alive. They don't come in power. They don't come in energetic. In other words, they're not allowing the Word of God to lead them. And they're not allowing God to take care of the problem that's in their life. Stop trying to fight this battle on your own. Go to prayer and watch God fight the battle, and the wall will break, and you will be delivered, and you will be sanctified, and you will be brought into the victory of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
It's so powerful. This sword that we're talking about, it has a more cutting than what a normal sword is. You know, it really does. It goes to places where it's really amazing how it cuts through and how it goes there, and it's actively there in your life, and it's alive, and it's searching for believers, and it's also searching for unbelievers. Just because when you become a believer, you don't think of the sword of the Spirit. It's there, and it's searching for the unbelievers. As the word is preached into a congregation, it's searching for the unbeliever. When you speak God's word into somebody's life, no matter where you're at in the public arena of life, when you begin to speak the word into their life, it's a sword going into their life, and it's cutting through the stuff. And it's giving them revelation to realize who God is. And once you realize who God is, you want to be part of the family of God. It's so important. Do we see that what God wants to do? You see, the things that are perceptive by the word, not physical. See, some things you can trick people into how you feel. When someone asks you, "How you doing today?" and you got on this Kmart or Walmart or Target smile. You know, it is looked like I just bought it and I went to the cheapest one. I don't know which one was cheaper that day, but the smile was on sale at Target today. And I put on, but and you say to everybody, "I'm doing fine. I couldn't be any better." But inside you are struggling. You are just damaged. You've been beat up by the devil, and you've been beat up by life circumstances. You know, the best way to come into that type of question is, you know, I need some prayer. I need God's word spoken into my life because I am going through some stuff today. It's really funny, you know, sometimes I think worship leaders shouldn't be up on the platform. And neither should a minister be up on a platform if they're like sad and they're bummed out and they sing as such. Or the pastor gets up there or the speaker gets up there and they're sad and bummed out and they preach as such. I think the body should be open and say, "You know what? Someone pray for me." Praise God. Someone speak God's word into my life. Someone tell me, does he love me today? Amen. You know, the enemy will give you dreams that will tell you people don't like you. Well, you know what? Here's the answer to that. God loves you. God cared so much about you that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, who is the Word, to die on Calvary's cross, to raise himself up on the third day, and to ascend 40 days later, 10 days before Pentecost. And then on the day of Pentecost, he sent his Holy Spirit that the church would be endued with power to take this word, the sword of the Spirit, to a world that needs to know that there is hope, there is deliverance, and there is a way to repent through Jesus Christ to get to the Father. Praise God. I don't know if I should continue to pray. I guess I will. I'm just going to keep going. We just have to understand that this sword is piercing. It's coming through. It breaks through. It breaks through all the stuff. How many come to church sometimes with stuff? You know, let me tell you something. It breaks through the stuff. It does what it has to do. It goes to the soul, the lower part of man, and into the spirit, the higher part of man. It comes into the joints and the marrow. It literally discerns the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. It goes where we cannot go, but we have to trust that when the rhema comes, that rhema is piercing and comes into our life, and we're able to then begin to walk and build up on faith that we know who we are in Christ Jesus. Yes. Don't let the enemy press you down. Let the word of God get in you and discern what's going on in your heart, and knows the thoughts and the very intents of your heart, and begins to build you up and care for you to where you are strong in Christ Jesus. Am I helping anybody today? Yes. It's amazing to me that what we have is the oftentimes just the distinguishing of the flesh, but we don't have in our hearts the distinguishing of the Spirit. It's amazing how many people that I have met that don't read the Bible. I know people that have been saved for years and they've never read the Bible through. My goodness gracious, this is the sword of the Spirit. This is amazing to me. You know, I read it every year. And I love the stories. I don't get to a part of the Bible and go, oh, I know that story and move on. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I get to First Book of Chronicles, I get a little name weary, you know what I mean? And I really thank God that Jabez showed up in the middle and beginning of there, you know, and I got this little prayer thrown at me, and whoa, thank you, God, that was for me. Because, you know, I get a little name weary, and sometimes I can't pronounce some of these names. When I was a younger preacher and I got to learn some things, I learned how to say the kites, the bites, and the lights. I didn't want to pronounce her whole name because I would mess it up, you know. But I'm telling, just being honest, but I'm telling you, the Word of God gets into your heart when you read the Bible, when you get the whole story. Read the Bible. Pray. It's great. I fell asleep last night, believe it or not. And I woke up and I thought, oh, wow, I forgot to read the Bible. So I read the Bible and I said, I still got to pray. And I prayed. And I finally got to bed around 3:20. But I felt good. I felt rinsed. I felt as though the Lord had blessed me. You see, we have to fully understand that listen to what it says in John 2:25. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. No one had to come up and tell Jesus what was human nature's about. He created us. He spoke us into existence. The Word of God has been breathed by God, and that's why we need to study it and show ourselves approved. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, because that is the breath of God on the pages for us. Amen. Are you swimming with me? Amen. I mean, get out of the wading pool. Get out into the deep waters and understand that there's a God who will keep you floating. A God that will hold you up. A God that will deliver you out of the worst conditions ever. He loves us so much. In 1995, Johnny Oates was the managing of the Texas Rangers baseball team when God spoke to him through the illness of his wife, Gloria. Oates had become a Christian in 1983, but until the crisis in 1995, he had always lived as if baseball were his God. Small g. His wife was traveling to the spring training camp for the Rangers when she became ill in Savannah, Georgia. His daughter summoned him to Georgia with a phone call. Oates arrived to find his wife in a motel, despairing and defeated. Oates said, God got my attention and said, Johnny, it's not going to work this way. In the grief of the moment, Oates told God that he was ready to listen to anything he wanted to say. And I'm going to go on with this in a moment, but isn't that amazing? God was there the whole time, but it had to be in an emergency to make his heart willing to listen to what God would say. Do you know how many people that I've pastored in all these years of 42 years of ministry, preached the gospel to, held in my arms, dedicated their babies? Do you know how many people that I know that waited for a crisis to come into their life before they really decided, God, hey, you are God. You are God. You're the one that I really trust in. You see, there's a lifestyle that you have to lead. Can I take a moment and tell you that? That this word declares a lifestyle that we have to lead. And that lifestyle does not mean that you sin and ask for repentance every hour. You don't make up the rules. You don't say, I can do this, they can't. I can handle it, but they can't. It's amazing to me. It's amazing. I don't drink because it's wrong for me. It's wrong for people to get inebriated. The Bible says that we should be drunk in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Just try to tell you right now that what we need to do is we need to live by God's rule. Amen. Live by God's rule. It's amazing what God says, how we're supposed to live. You find it in the Bible. It's the sword of the Spirit cutting through. It's the rhema word to your life when someone comes up to you and speaks a word into your life. Has anybody ever had someone come to you that you respected and they said, I have a word for you? And they speak this into your life and that word becomes life to you. It went from being a word from somebody, a rhema, into your life, and now it's become a promise of God in your life. And you went back to the Bible and you matched the promise to the rhema word that was spoken into your life. The next day, Oates checked his wife out motel and headed for their home in Virginia. There, he and his wife both participated in Christian counseling program and learned how to communicate with one another. He learned that what he had worshipped was not God or his family, but the game of baseball. Let me tell you something. Watch out what you worship outside the church. It could be sports. It could be automobiles. It could be Hollywood. It could be something, somebody. You become to make that personality more than God. No one is greater than God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that needs to be said across every pulpit in America. No one is greater than God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. No one can save you less by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no name under heaven whereby a man can be saved less by the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Savior. Do you feel saved today? I feel saved. I I feel good. I feel God. I feel empowered by the Holy Ghost. I feel the energy of God's word. It is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's coming into my life and it's piercing. It's separating. It's discerning. And it allows me to realize that he knows what I think and what my intents are. I fear God. I don't hide in a corner and say, I'm so afraid of God, I can't come out. I have a reverential fear for God, which means I reverence him so deeply, I fear him. Because I know how good he is, and how loving, and how kind, and how merciful, and how abundant he is in his blessings, in his care for his family. Have I helped you so far? I'm going to close here in a moment. Both Oates and his wife moved closer, and Oates said, as we get closer to God, we get closer to each other. God got his attention. Fortunately, Oates listened. God's message to the baseball managers was life-changing. It was also marriage-saving. Now, I don't know why I put this in there last night. I was in my studies and everything, and it kind of showed up in the middle of something, and I thought the Lord said, put that in there. So if that has touched anybody today, that came right from the Lord. So God is speaking to someone in here today. And I just want you to know that that word is getting into us. That word is making a difference in our life. That word is lifting up out of the miry clay, and it's putting our feet upon a rock, and that rock is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and it's giving us a new song in our heart, and now we can sing, praise ye the Lord, and others will see it and know that God is God and has delivered you and I.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, we have to kind of give this account one day. Proverbs 20:27, it says, the Lord's light penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive. Wow. He's able to capable of judging and the purposes of our hearts and intent. He's able to do that. And it's amazing to me that it's right there in the Bible in Proverbs that this is what he can do. And this is what he does. So when you go to the Lord in prayer and say, oh, you know, Father, I just... you know, I'll never do it again. God can see 3 weeks down the road. He really can. He's good at that stuff. He's good at it. You can pray a prayer and say, I'll never do this again. Forgive me, Father. I forgive everybody that hurt me. Oh, God, how I forgive them. I just forgive everybody that's transgressed against me. I forget about their words towards me. And then you see that person 3 days later and you go, somewhere happened in between that forgiving moment till you saw the person and then you go, you know. Forgiveness is a key to you being blessed by God. When Job prayed for his friends, he received a double portion in return. When he prayed for his friends, when he forgave his friends, I'm in the book of Job right now, and I cannot believe how his friends treated him. What great friends. First of all, they sat so far away, they didn't talk to him for 7 days. They just stared at him. Boy, if I was in the hospital and somebody came and sat in a chair and just stared at me, I'd be freaking out. What has the doctor told them? My goodness gracious, you know, they're just sitting there and they don't leave, and I'm waking up, they're staring, I go to sleep, they're staring, you know, and then finally there is a conversation, and this conversation goes back and forth, and finally Job gets uptight and he says stuff, and then Elihu gets uptight, he says, all these people go on, and it just happens over and over again, and you're reading book of Job and you're wanting to say, someone say something correct. And then God speaks to Job. You know, God is going to speak to you. And when he speaks, it's piercing. You know, I was praying the other day, and a person I've never met came into my heart. Never met him. Ever. Never shook his hand, never embraced him, never been in the same room with him that I know of. And the Lord put him in my heart, and I began to weep in my chair and cry for this man. Amazing. I contacted a family member of his and told him, I just want to let you know that I just began to weep. Tears were streaming down my face. My wife is at school. I'm alone in the living room, and I'm crying over someone I never met. That's a God thing. That's what God does to you. Let him into your heart. He can change things about you, around you, and use you, and go through you. Amen. How many would like that in your life? Amen. To do that, he will do it. You know, here's something that I think is really important. He's able to help every creature, invisible or invisible. He's able to do something that's so powerful and so alive, because nothing is hidden from him. Do you realize no matter what we have done in our life, do you realize that no matter what, that we can't put anything in the closet. We can't hide skeletons in the closet. Everything is going to be revealed. Amen. Everything. How you doing today? Okay, I'm all right. Yes, amen. All right, amen. I'm fine. But you know, there's something that you're hiding in your life. God sees it. And you know what? At the end, we all have to give an account to God. No, that's not God saying, ha, 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 I'm going to get you at the end. God is saying, get it right now, so when you have to give an account, it's going to be a good account. The closet's not going to open up, and all these skeletons of bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness and sin and addiction and sexual immorality and revelry and debauchery are going to come flowing out of that closet called your heart in front of everybody. Things will come up in my life, and I just say, God, forgive me. I heard the Holy Spirit say to me one day, you've asked for forgiveness on that more times than you even remember. And I said, I know. I keep forgetting I did that. I just want to be forgiven. I want to be set free. And I want to know that I'm not going to let unbelief stop that in my life.